Hey, welcome back to Chew the Bible. It's your good friend A.A. Ron. Hope everyone is having or had an amazing day, depending on what you got going on. It is 12:35 in the morning. I decided to just rest today, and I'm going to get driving here in a couple hours. Oh boy, the weather, y'all pray for us here in Missouri. The weather's supposed to get crazy, and pray for me too. I've been dealing with a really bad headache today, so I don't normally get headaches, so anyway, let's just get right into the word. Leviticus chapter 10 NLT. The sin of Nadab and Abihu. Oh, this story is wild, y'all. All right, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu. My sons are Aiden and Matthew, by the way. Nadab and Abihu put coals of fire in their incense burners and sprinkled incense over them. In this way, they disobeyed the Lord by burning before him the wrong kind of fire, different than he had commanded. So fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and burned them up, and they died there before the Lord. Let's just pause for a second. This right here, this kind of stuff, when I read this, I'm like, all right, God, that is pretty, I don't know about y'all, that's scary. That's scary. The fact that God is like, all right, that's how serious he took this matter. They burned the wrong kind of incense. And God was like, poof, be gone. Thank God we live under the age of grace. And thank you for Jesus and his salvation. At the same time, though, this makes me realize the importance of just, like, doing your best to obey the Lord. Yes, we live under grace. But we shouldn't just be out here doing and saying and living any old kind of way and being like, oh, God knows my heart. You know, we live under grace. It's like, yeah. He does know our hearts, and the heart is wicked and deceitful. And is that in the Bible? I think there is a scripture. I need to find that. Let me see here. People say, they often say, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Where is that at? God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yeah, that's in Malachi 3:6. Because it says, I am the Lord, I change not. Yeah, in Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. On here it says, God is always good, always loving, and always all-powerful. And no matter how the world changes, we can trust that God is consistent. Now, if we're going to accept those good attributes of God, we also have to accept the hard ones, and that he doesn't let sin just slide. Like, sin is any way we just go against God's will for our life, disobedience. And clearly he said, here, these folks burn the wrong kind of fire, different than what he told them to. And in his anger, righteous anger, he burned and consumed them. Now, my question after that is, where are Nadab and Abihu? Do they go to hell or do they go to heaven? That's my biggest question there. I'll let y'all go look up some commentaries on that. That would be a good call-in question or email question for One of my favorite podcasts to listen to. I don't listen to it all the time, but one of the ones in my rotation is Core Christianity. And you can text, you can email them or call them with questions. And that would be one of my questions. Like, hey, Adriel. I think that's his name, Adriel. Like, hey, what happened? What do you think happened to Nadab and Abihu after they were consumed in the fire of God's wrath and anger? Anyway, verse 3. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord meant when he said, I will display my holiness through those who come near me. I will display my glory before all the people. Now, we might think of that in a negative way. Like, at least I do. I automatically think like, oh, this is a bad thing for Nadab and Abihu to just die like that. But maybe it was a good thing. Maybe they're... I don't get the mind of God. And I'm glad I'm not God. That's what I say all the time. Because there's just some things that just don't make sense to the human mind when reading this stuff. And then why wasn't Aaron angry? Like, if God consumed my sons like that, I'd be like, hey, guy, you know they young. You know they be doing dumb stuff. You know they messed up. They screwed up. Can't they have some grace, some mercy? Give them another chance? Why you had to take my kids like that? Instead, Aaron said, no, Moses says to Aaron, this is what the Lord meant when he said, I will display my holiness through those who come near me, and I will display my glory before all the people. What is he quoting there? Is he quoting something from Exodus? I will have to go back and look, but let's just keep reading. And Aaron was silent. Aaron is normally the mouthpiece for Moses, and he was speechless. Verse 4, then Moses called for Mishael and Elzaphan, Aaron's cousins, the sons of Aaron's uncle Uzziel. He said to them, come forward and carry away the bodies of your relatives from in front of the sanctuary to a place outside the camp. So they came forward and picked them up by their garments and carried them out of the camp, just as Moses had commanded. Oh, my Lord. Could you imagine? Think about all the things, ways that we have screwed up over our lifespan, and all the ways our kids, if you have kids, have screwed up. And just imagine your kids screwing up and God being like, poof. I don't know. Whew. Then Moses said to Aaron, his sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, do not show grief by leaving your hair uncombed or by tearing your clothes. If you do, you will die. Woe. And the Lord's anger will strike the whole community of Israel. However, the rest of the Israelites, your relatives, may mourn because of the Lord's fiery destruction of Nadab and Abihu. But you must not leave the entrance of the tabernacle or you will die, for you have been anointed with the Lord's anointing oil. So they did as Moses commanded. Makes me wonder, when we disobey God, disobey his word, and live contrary, the consequences from our sin aren't always immediate. A lot of times they happen over time. And I heard one pastor say that the consequences are kind of just built into the sin now. But that's a discussion for another day. Instructions for priestly conduct. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your descendants must never drink wine or any other alcoholic drink before going into the tabernacle. If you do, you will die. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed from generation to generation. It's interesting because that's the very first miracle that Jesus conducts in the New Testament, is turning water to wine. Let's keep going. Verse 10, you must distinguish between what is sacred and what is common, between what is ceremonially unclean and what is clean. You must teach the Israelites all the decrees that the Lord has given them through Moses. Then Moses said to Aaron and his remaining sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, take what is left of the grain offering after a portion has been presented as a special gift to the Lord, and eat it beside the altar. Make sure it contains no yeast, for it is most holy. You must eat it in a sacred place, for it has been given to you and your descendants as your portion of the special gifts presented to the Lord. These are the commands I have been given, but the breast and thigh that were lifted up as a special offering may be eaten in any place that is ceremonially clean. These parts have been given to you and your descendants as your portion of the peace offerings presented by the people of Israel. You must lift up the thigh and breast as a special offering to the Lord. As we've established multiple times, I told y'all, thigh meat. I love the thigh of the chicken so much better than chicken breast. Once you go chicken thigh, you would never go back to the breast. I was trying to make that rhyme, but I couldn't think of anything. Thigh, no lie, the thigh won't make you sigh like the breast. Anyway, all right. Pudooch. These parts have been given to you and your descendants as your portion of the peace offerings presented by the people of Israel. You must lift up the thigh and breast as a special offering to the Lord, along with the fat of the special gifts. These parts have belonged to you and your descendants as your permanent right, just as the Lord has commanded. Moses then asked them what had happened to the goat of the sin offering. Then he discovered it had been burned up. He became very angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's remaining sons. Oh boy. Why didn't you eat the sin offering in the sacred area? He demanded. It is a holy offering. The Lord has given it to you to remove the guilt of the community and to purify the people, making them right with the Lord. Since the animal's blood was not brought into the holy place, you should have eaten the meat in the sacred area as I ordered you. Then Aaron answered Moses, today my sons presented both their sin offering and their burnt offering to the Lord, and yet this tragedy has happened to me. If I had eaten the people's sin offering on such a tragic day as this, would the Lord have been pleased? And when Moses heard this, he was satisfied. There's a lot going on here, and I encourage y'all to go read some commentaries on these passages, because there's a lot going on that I can't fully explain or comprehend. All I know is God has a particular way, had a particular way that he wanted things done related to these offerings. There's like five different ones: the sin offering, the guilt one, the trespass offering, the grain offering, and one other one I can't remember. Anyway, five, which represents grace. But God's grace. There's a lot going on here, y'all. I was going to say one more thing. If you don't have, I encourage you to go get a really good Bible. Like, Tony Evans Bible is really good. It has commentary. And he just breaks down a lot of this stuff that, if it doesn't make sense, he adds on. Like, he not adds on to the Bible, but like, he gives you more context of what's going on and some of the historical context and examples. And all I know is Leviticus, because the whole, when you got to read the Bible in its entirety and realize that it's one great story about Jesus. And sin is what separated man from God. Till this day, it still does. And Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, by dying on the cross, the sacrificial lamb, once and for all, so we didn't have to do all these things, right? And now it's God had all these particular ways that they had to do things to sacrifice, make sacrifices for the sins of the people. And Jesus replaced all that. And now we just have John 14:6 when it says, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So when people say, oh, there's many ways to God, or just be a good person, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's like, nope. That's not what the word says. Jesus, he made it so simple. I mean, following Jesus is not easy, not simple. But accepting Jesus Christ as your only way, as the only way to have a relationship with God and to spend eternity in heaven, to be made right with God, that is simple, just by simply asking Jesus in your heart. But even it's amazing just how even that is so complex to people. Like, people make all the excuses in the book for why they won't follow Jesus. And anyway, my prayer is that you meet Jesus today, and all your examples of religious encounters that you had growing up in church, you know, whatever denomination, fill in the blank, that you would just simply stop running from Jesus and ask him into your heart and follow him and begin a relationship with him. So, all right, y'all. Thanks for listening. Till next time.
Holla.